Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
America's favorite nutritionist and dietitian is a woman named Dawn Jackson Blattner. She's a Chicagoan, although we have to share her with the whole world. You can follow her on Instagram at DJ Blattner, and her website is DawnJacksonBlattner.com. Hi, Dawn. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. I missed you last week, so I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, John Hansen filled in for me. I'm glad you were able to join him, and that's always a fun show when you're on the air. John does a great job. While I was gone, I saw a piece about how there's this thing called Japanese walking, and I was wondering if you had heard about that.
Okay, when you texted this to me, I started crying with joy because I love this. Okay, so you're right. Japanese walking, it's all over TikTok right now. After it goes onto TikTok, then it goes into Instagram, and then everybody starts writing about it. So this is really not new. What this is actually, it's called interval walking. So Japanese walking is like the new tagline of it. But technically, all it is it's interval walking. And what that means is you're changing between a very brisk pace and a slower pace. And actually, there's a real prescription to this. It's 3 minutes of very brisk walking and then 3 minutes of slower walking. And you do this 5 rounds. So that equals 30 minutes total. So it's 3 minutes brisk, 3 minutes slow. You do that 5 times in a row, and you add up to 30 minutes of walking. And research has been done early 2000s even, like 2007 is like the first report of this Japanese walking, interval walking. And basically in 5 months, when the men and women were in this program of doing this system of interval walking, fast and slow, fast and slow, fast and slow, they were outperforming people who were just walking at a steady pace. And that you can kind of see why. It's like, you know, you're picking up your heart rate for 3 minutes and then you're slowing it down. You're picking it up again. And people were having good luck with blood pressure, more leg strength. They were having boosted aerobic health. Now, you know, at the end of the day, here's the thing. Any kind of walking is good walking. We know that walking is good for your heart, it's good for your muscles and bones and mood and memory and sleep and quality of life. It's, you know, walking is good for all those things. But if you're already doing walking, this interval training or this interval walking, Japanese walking, it's actually a great idea to test out and see if you don't get a little bit more bang for your buck by doing it.
Yeah. How would I, do you think that if I'm walking to lose weight, will I see the pounds shed more quickly, Dawn?
Okay, so here's an interesting thing. Possibly, yes. And here's why. Anytime somebody's at a plateau where they are the same weight, the same weight, the same weight, and they're, how can I bust out of this plateau? There is something called the FIT principle to engage when you're trying to bust a plateau and get your weight loss going again. And FIT stands for frequency, intensity, time and type, F-I-T-T, frequency, intensity, time and type. And so you want to change up one of those variables or more to your typical, you know, exercise routine. So if you're typically walking and all of a sudden you say, okay, hey, what could I do? Well, change the frequency, walk more often. Or try this Japanese walking. That changes up the I, the intensity. Or you could go longer, or you can add a different type of exercise to your routine. But yes, the FIT principle, by changing up intensity, you can potentially plateau bust, which is great. The people in the study were doing this 4 times a week or more. So you are doing this almost to hit that 150 minutes every week. That is the recommendation of, you know, how to be healthy and stay healthy. So, you know, I do love it. Plus, I think the other thing, it makes it a little bit more fun. You know, instead of just going out and trying to get your 8,000, 10,000 steps or whatever, you know, this is like, oh, I'm on a little program. I'm 3 minutes brisk, 3 minutes slow. I'm doing it 5 times. I'm done in 30 minutes. I've done this 4 or 5 times a week. And you have like a whole little program to follow. A lot of people do ask me, though, they say, you know, how do I know if I'm going, you know, fast enough or slow enough? Like, how do I really know what brisk and slow means? And there's something called the rate of perceived exertion, RPE. It's basically how hard do you think you feel like you're working? And that's actually fairly good at judging this brisk and slow walking. And so 3 minutes, you want to be around a 7 out of 10 of feeling like, ooh, I'm working pretty, not as hard as I possibly can, but pretty darn hard, 7 out of 10. And then the slower pace is probably more around 3 out of 10. So you're not really pushing it that much, but you're not walking so slow you can't feel it. So that sort of pace is what you're looking for when it comes to interval walking or this Japanese walking.
I love the perceived notion of that. That is, if it feels like work and faster to you, that's your 7, but it's maybe my 5. That's okay. We don't have to walk at the same pace. The point is that you feel like you are working or walking harder for those 3 minutes.
Absolutely. And for people who are more cyclists, you can do this routine on a bicycle. If you're a runner already, you can do this running. Yeah. In fact, when I was doing the reality show where I was training the contestant I was teamed up with to run a half marathon, even though she's never run before, what we ended up doing is we actually did this interval walk training at first, walking fast, walking slow. Then when that started to feel a little bit easier, then we started doing a little bit of jog, a little bit of walk. And so interval training, whether it's walking or running or bicycling, is a great thing to add to your routine.
312-981-7200 if you've got a question about the fitness side. Normally it seems like we talk to Don about food and vitamins and supplements, or how to supplement supplements, that is, eat better foods. But if you've got a question or a comment, 312-981-7200. You can call right now or text in. I saw a study, too. I didn't read it, Don. I kind of rely on you to do this. But it sounded like they were writing about processed food. And the headline said, like, I don't think they used the word healthy, but better processed foods, which sounds like an oxymoron to me. Have you heard about that?
Oh my gosh, this is the hottest study ever. It came out 10 days ago, and all dietitian and health professionals can't stop talking about it. Yes, it's in the Nature Medicine is the journal. And here's why it's so, like, wild. This is wild. It's so, I just can't even tell you. Okay, listen, 50 people were in this study, and it was for 8 weeks they were on either a diet that was minimally processed or it was ultra processed. So we talk about this stuff all the time. Minimally processed is what it sounds like. It's the fruits, the vegetables, you know, the meats, the whole grains that haven't been, touched a bunch by processing. Ultra processed foods are those foods that are so different from what we cook at home. They have a lot of white flour and sugar. They have a lot of preservatives. They have a lot of added sugars and flavors and emulsifiers, things like that. But usually everybody's like, oh yeah, no kidding. Of course, you know, when you eat these whole foods, it's going to be better for you.
Yeah.
But what this study did that is just so wild is they actually said, no, listen, we're going to give the same amount of calories. We're going to give the same amount of carbs. We're going to give the same amount of protein. We're going to give the same amount of fat. We're going to give the same amount of fiber. We're going to give the same amount of fruits and vegetables. We are going to try and make these diets as even as possible with only changing one variable. And that one variable is how processed is that food. So on an unprocessed or minimally processed day, well, it was broccoli and it was pasta and it was meat sauce made at home. And in the ultra processed, it was like a frozen meal. For example, that would be an example. They tried to make them very close in diet. But then what ends up happening is when the people were eating these very minimally processed foods, even though it was all the same on the labels, right? All the same carbs and protein and fat, they ended up losing twice as much weight, even with all those same variables, as the ultra processed group. And really how that boils down, like what they ended up doing, is even though they were provided all this food, so all these participants were provided all this food, the people who were on that just very more natural diet, they ended up eating without trying 300 calories less every day. They just got more full and ended up eating less, so they lost weight. So it really goes to show you that even when you're choosing foods, you know, out there, that you're like, well, you know, it's got the right amount of protein, it's got the right amount of carbs, it's got the right amount of fiber, whatever. If it's still an ultra-processed food that has a lot of other added sugars and added emulsifiers and things, yeah, that can actually sabotage your weight loss goals. However, there is one big thing I want to note, is that even the people in this ultra-processed group, they ended up losing weight. The ultra-processed diet ended up being healthier than what most people were already doing. So it's not that you have to avoid all those things. You still can be healthy if you're choosing these ultra-processed foods well. You're choosing the ones with fruits and vegetables and fiber and less sugar. So you can still lose weight, but you can lose more if you do that less processed route.
Yeah, right. That sounds like, on the one hand, logical, but it also feels a little revelatory too, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I think the big thing is that, yes, everybody would think, oh, yeah, of course, ultra-processed foods aren't that good for you. But this actual study picked the ones that were the best for you. You know, it picked the ones that actually had still five fruits and vegetable servings in there and still had whole grains in there.
Some of the frozen, like, I don't know, Weight Watchers dinners, or, you know, there's a whole row of stuff at the grocery store of processed, I guess, right? But diet food. Is that one of the things we're talking about here, Dawn?
It's exactly what we're talking about. So, like, for example, the study was very cool in that they also gave pictures. Like, if you actually look at the full article, they gave pictures and the actual menus of what people were eating. And so, like, for example, it would be the, you know, minimally processed group was eating something like cinnamon apple overnight oats. You know, so we've talked about that before, and unsweetened yogurt. But the ultra-processed group, again, you know, some processing your food is no big deal. Who cares? This is the ultra-processed one. They were eating oats, but it was an oat and fruit bar. And they were eating yogurt, but it was a sweetened yogurt. Or, like, for example, it would be, you know, something, you know, very similar meals, like the spaghetti that was with meat sauce at home versus the frozen meal lasagna. Or another one that was interesting is like, oh, they're eating cottage cheese snacks for protein with fruit or whatever. And the other one was like a protein shake that was, you know, and a protein bar. So again, ultra processed stuff versus like the whole food version. People still lost weight doing that healthier version of the processed foods than they usually were, but they lost double when they were doing the more minimally processed diet.
Dawn Jackson-Blattner, the author, registered dietitian, nutritionist, is on the line. Ready for some questions?
I am.
What's a good heart rate to aim for when doing that kind of intermittent walking?
Okay, so as we talked about, there is nothing definitive in these studies as much as it is this rate of perceived exertion.
Yeah.
So I know that people love numbers and they love that concept, but if you're really trying to like mimic what you see here, it's like trying to figure out what 10 out of 10 is and drop to a 7, and that's where you want your briskness to be. And then the, you know, the slower walk is not a 1. It's more in the line of a 3. And so, yeah. So
and
you're
you'll
trying
notice,
to jostle it between those.
And whatever the number is, your heart rate, I presume, is going to go up 7 to 3 anyway. So don't worry about what the number is. Please ask Dawn if GHEE butter is healthy and or better than regular butter.
Okay, so this is ghee. GHEE is ghee, and it's clarified butter. And so that is, you know, in certain cultures, that's like their go-to fat to use in like cooking and serving food. And so basically it is butter. So it's not necessarily better for you than butter, but it is something that can be part of a healthy diet, just like, you know, butter can be.
Yeah.
However, you know, I'm always going to preach olive oil ahead of it. So olive oil is still always going to be my heart smart bestie, but ghee can be right up there, you know, as a secondary choice.
This one begins, Dawn exclamation point. I love those black bean brownies you suggested, but are they high caloric and to be eaten with constraint despite the nutritional healthier ingredients?
Oh, man, yes. So anytime it comes to, you know, brownies, even though we're making them with oat flour, making them with black beans, they are still a brownie. And so it's, you know, eating them, with restraint or just savoring them as opposed to feeling like you have this health halo. That's the number one issue with health food, actually, is that it gets this halo, and so people eat more of it. We learned it in the 80s when everything was like fat-free and people ate, you know, boxes and boxes of Snack Well cookies and things like that. you know, thinking, oh my gosh, this is good for me, I can eat more. But the truth is, it's still one of those things that's a treat in moderation. And what else to say about that? But it's still better for you if you were eating, you know, three of the bean brownies than three of a regular brownie.
One of my favorite foods in the whole wide world is a scoop of ice cream and a brownie. And if it's your brownie and it's not a monster brownie, that's a better choice. Dawn, for the people who don't know what that is, it's real simple. Just quick, what are the ingredients in your black bean brownie?
Oh, okay. So first, you got to go to my website for sure. But like the main things are, it's oats, and then you grind it up into oat flour, and black beans that you puree. And that those are the main ingredients of it. But obviously, like cocoa powder for chocolate. But it's all on djblattner.com. And if all you hit it is black bean brownie, you will get the full recipe.
What about you, Mike? You're on WGN with Dawn Jackson Blattner. What can we do for you?
Yes, John and Dawn. I eat oatmeal every day, and I read on the internet that it has phytic acid in it and that you shouldn't eat oatmeal every day because the phytic acid, you know, inhibits the uptake of vitamins and minerals. What do you think about that?
Yes. So it is true that phytates are in oats, and they're in a lot, almost all healthy foods that people eat. However, it is not a big deal in terms of how it's hurting absorption of nutrients and that it's so, you know, hard on your gut, and all of that is not true. It is true that it's in there, but it is not true that it has these, you know, bad effects. The number one thing to know is that cultures who eat whole grains that have phytates in them, like oats, really are the healthiest. You know, those are the healthiest people. So that's what I always look to in terms of, you know, how much of a food should we eat or not eat? Should we cut it out? Should we eat it? And oats are notorious, always on the top lists of people who live long and healthy lives. Because in addition to phytates being in there, there's also things like beta-glucan, which is this incredible compound that you eat and it goes into your gut and it makes all of these incredibly protective compounds for you. So you just always have to take things, you know, with a grain of salt, as they say. It's like, yes, it's true that it's in there, but it's not as harmful or harmful at all as people say.
Dawn, which is better, canned tuna in oil or canned tuna in water?
You know what? Either way. Back in, you know, when everybody was afraid of fat, we would always say, please get your tuna in water. And that was like our big thing.
Is
but
that the way we would
tuna
say it, too? Would we say it that
yes
way? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, of course I would. With like my little glasses on and like judging fats. But now we know that, you know, especially tuna is oftentimes packed in olive oil. So it is great. And what I have found is when people do it and get the water one, they oftentimes use more mayonnaise because there's not, you know, a whole lot of flavor in that tuna. But when people buy the oil packed tuna, you know, and still drain most of the oil out, it's still a little bit more flavorful. And so there's a lot less mayonnaise needed, and sometimes not even at all, more of a Mediterranean style tuna salad where it's olive oil based instead of mayonnaise based.
Time's up.
Oh, no. How did it go so fast?
Well, you talked a lot. That's Dawn Jackson.
Oh, God. What's new, John? What's new?
That's why we put you on, my friend. That's Dawn Jackson Blattner. Do go to her website, DawnJacksonBlattner.com. A pile of questions here for you, Dawn. I didn't get to today, but we sure will next time. You can also do follow her on Instagram, DJ Blattner on Insta. If you want to pick up some of these tips, but you didn't remember them all, remember, we podcast this conversation. Go to the John Williams page at WGNradio.com after the show. Dawn, I hope you can join us again.
Thank you. I will. Have a great week, John.